It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Imagine being a high school student who wants to go to college, but you can't afford it. Perhaps you were in that very situation. But since 2008, a program called the Pittsburgh Promise has provided public school students in the city with up to $40,000 in scholarship money to pursue undergraduate higher education. To complete the eligibility requirements, students must have maintained a 2.5 grade point average and had 90% attendance. The Promise has sent more than 4,000 students to college over the last 5 years, with the first batch of four-year graduates, about 400 students, graduating in 2012. But critics claim the program has not worked and that the money to fund it would be better spent elsewhere. On today's show, a discussion of whether the Pittsburgh Promise is delivering. With us in Studio A is Salim Gubriel, Executive Director of the Pittsburgh Promise. Salim Gubriel, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul. Good to see you again.
And joining us by phone is Jake Halk, President of the Allegheny Institute. Jake Halk, thanks for being with us.
You're very welcome.
If you'd like to join the conversation, you can call us at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is esspgh@wesa.fm, and you can reach us on Twitter at ESSPGH and follow the conversation at #EPLive. Do you think the Pittsburgh Promise has been a successful program or a program that has failed in its mission? 412-246-2002, the number to call. That's 412-246-2002. Salim Gubriel, let's begin with you. As executive director of the Pittsburgh Promise, the Promise began in 2008, 5 years in. You say that the program has been a success. What has made the Pittsburgh Promise a successful program, in your view?
I would certainly say that the program has demonstrated pockets of success that are, for me, very exhilarating and noteworthy on the things that are – well, for example, here are our three purpose statements for the Promise. We said from the very beginning that what we want to do is use the Promise to leverage the development of neighborhoods, use the Promise to promote the reform of the schools, and use the Promise to provide higher educational opportunities to city kids. So the first two are long-term endeavors that require a substantial amount of time to see those kinds of macro shifts occur. But on the third one, making higher education accessible to city kids in ways that it had not been before, on that front, I would say the Promise has delivered in ways that maybe even far exceed expectations. So we sent 4,000 kids to college in the last 4 years. Is that good? Is that bad? That is half of the graduating classes of the last 4 years of high school. So 50% of Pittsburgh Public School graduates went to college on a Promise scholarship. The others, that doesn't mean that they did not go to college. Some chose to go to college out of state where they cannot access the Promise scholarship. Some chose to enlist in the military, and to them we say the scholarship will be waiting for you upon discharge. And then some did not make the eligibility standards. But we've sent 4,000 kids to college, and they truly represent the beautiful diversity of our city's student population. It's a great mix of Black, white, Asians, Hispanics, and Latinos, about 52% white, about 48% non-white. It's a great mix of male, female. And what encourages me maybe more than anything else is the fact that the money is going to our poorest and neediest kids. Over half of our kids have a $0 expected family contribution on their financial aid package. And then finally, they're persisting in college. According to research done by the University of Pittsburgh, LRDC, they are persisting in college at rates that are significantly higher than state and national averages. So that causes me to feel like the investment in their education is one that indeed delivering a return.
Jake Halk, president of the Allegheny Institute, you have heard the numbers that Salim Gubriel just cited, and yet you say the Pittsburgh Promise has failed as a program. Why is that?
Well, I would take issue on a couple of points, but the main thing is this program, when it was started, was supposed to stop the decline in enrollment in city schools, and it was supposed to make academic performance improve in the city schools. I mean, anybody can hand out money to kids to go to college if you can raise the money. But if you're not doing anything to stop the decline in the city schools and or improve the educational quality in the city schools. It seems to me like that is an indictment of the program, and that's the basis on which I say that it's not working, because the evidence is pretty clear. Since the program started, the number of 12th graders has declined by 17%. The academic performance of in the 11th grade and in the people taking SATs has gotten worse in most of the schools. So I would say that in some sense it's probably arguable that the availability of this basically free money, if you will, is discouraging or disincentivizing students to work as hard as they might otherwise. So I would say if you look at the reality of declining enrollment and lower scores on SATs, very poor scores on the Pennsylvania Scholastic Assessment Test, something is amiss here and it needs to be examined. And one of the things that we've suggested is if you really want to improve the outlook for these students, rather than dangling scholarships in front of them for 4 to 8 years out, give them some money to go to a school where they're going to learn something and prepare them for college. We don't know how many of these kids are being successful in college. I mean, he says it's better than the national average, but we don't know if they're graduating. We don't know what degrees they're getting. We don't know what's happening to them. So, you know, I think we need to be honest here and say, look, if we're going to do this program, let's say what it's about. If we're just going to hand out scholarships for kids to go to college, that's one thing. I mean, you can raise money to do that. A right. lot of these kids who have...
I'm going to jump in, Jake. I think you've made made your point, and I want to just keep the conversation going forward here and put some of what you said in front of Salim, who is sitting here in our studio. And to Jake Houck's point about the Pittsburgh Promise design, was it in fact designed to stop the overflow of students from the school system to try and attract more back into the public schools in Pittsburgh by making these scholarships available, using that incentive or dangling them, as Jake likes to say, and to improve educational performance? And if that is in fact one of the goals, has it happened? And if it hasn't, can the Pittsburgh Promise really be considered a success?
So I cited earlier the three purpose statements of the Promise: neighborhood development, school reform, and then making higher ed available. And then
those are pretty broad
umbrellas. They are. And then
so
goals.
I guess what I'm saying is, was part of the goal to stem the declining enrollment?
So the goals that proceeded from these purpose statements are indeed to reverse population and enrollment declines, transform the quality of schools as measured by two numbers, high school completion and college graduation. And then thirdly, adding diversity and preparedness, local diversity and preparedness to our region's workforce. Now, Jake is absolutely right. We agree with Jake. We agree with Jake that there has not been a reversal of the enrollment declines in the district nor population declines in the city. What we said from the very beginning, we said this 5 years ago in our very first published report to the community in July 2009, that we projected decline to continue for 5 years, and we in fact projected that by now the enrollment in the district would even be lower than it is. So we projected decline. We thought that these kinds of changes require time to reverse, and that we are pleased that the declines seem to have leveled off both in the city as well as in the district. According to the study that was done by the RAND Corporation 2 years ago, they surveyed 450 families who enrolled their kids in Pittsburgh Public Schools in middle school since the inception of the Promise. In other words, they had children before the Promise in school, but they weren't in Pittsburgh Public. And they enrolled them in Pittsburgh Public in middle school since the inception of the Promise. And RAND in their survey asked them basically why, and they cited three reasons. And the first among them was the Promise. The second among them is the reform work, which is also a long-distance marathon, the reform work that's taking place in the district. And then finally, the diversity of culture and the diversity of programs in Pittsburgh Public Schools.
So you're saying 5 years is not enough time to really accurately measure whether this is successful or not.
But in 5 years, we have seen some measurable change, including the stabilization of enrollment. Plus, we have seen since 2008, since the inception of the Promise, we have seen kindergarten enrollment grow by 9%. And that, to me, bodes fairly well for both the future of the city and the schools in that we're finally getting younger as well as bigger.
Jake Hulk, even if there were concerns, and there are, I'm sure, about enrollment, it always is a concern. Salim is saying that the declining enrollment, that tide has been stemmed. But even if it weren't, what is wrong with the idea of providing scholarship money to students who saying, here's a goal, you meet this goal, we'll help you get to college? And if, in fact, the figures are proving that these students are performing, that the Promise students are performing well with this scholarship money, what can be the harm in it?
Well, because it takes the eye off the ball.
In what way?
If you look at the performance of students in Pittsburgh public schools, for the most part, it's pretty abysmal. I mean, you've got 11th graders at Westinghouse High School, only 7% of whom can perform at proficient levels, grade levels, in mathematics. And yet 17% of the graduates from Westinghouse are eligible for these scholarships, when only 7% a year earlier were proficient in mathematics. How are those people ready to go to college? A 2.5 GPA in that environment tells me absolutely nothing about their qualifications. And if you look at the number of remedial courses that are having to be offered by colleges, we're sending a lot of kids to college who simply are not ready to go.
Well, based on what? I mean, if you base that on a grade point average, Albert Einstein flunked arithmetic, but he excelled later in life. Is a grade point average in high school the strict and only measure of what a student is capable of?
Are you kidding me?
Is
Albert Einstein flunked mathematics for reasons totally nothing to do with his ability to do mathematics.
But what I'm saying is that would have lowered his GPA, and is the GPA the sole and prime indicator of what a student is capable of beyond high school?
Well, absolutely not, but it's a good indication. If you look at the SAT scores in mathematics, look at the SAT scores in reading, these people are simply not ready for college-level work. You can't send a kid to college and expect them to do well when they can't even do high school level work.
But,
I mean, that's just foolishness.
But if the statistics are showing, as they seem to indicate, that these Promise students are performing well at the college level, 9% better than the national average, then doesn't that tell you that there may be more indications of what a student is capable of beyond high school?
It depends. I mean, We don't know about these studies. We don't know which schools these kids are going to. If they're going to community colleges that are basically you pay your tuition, you get a degree, that doesn't tell me anything. If they're going to high-quality schools and competing with other kids from high-quality high schools, then to tell me what the comparison is. I mean, this is so much blather. We just don't know. We don't have enough individual records tracking these people to know how they're doing. I mean, this is a useless discussion because we don't know.
Salim, what about Jake Hulk's point? He's saying that 2.5 that's making it too easy. Should it be higher? Does he have a point when he says that we're not expecting enough of the students who qualify for the Pittsburgh Promise money?
You know, one thing that the Pittsburgh Promise never assumed, and that is that we have expertise regarding who is eligible for college and who is not. By that, I mean who is admissible to college and who is not. That's what admissions officers at schools do. They are the ones who determine whether a child should be admitted to their institution or not. So we've had some really smart people argue this point from opposite ends, equally smart, equally caring. Some argue that there should not be a GPA requirement at all. If a kid graduates and gets accepted, we should give him a scholarship. Others have argued that the requirements ought to be significantly higher than they are so that kids reach for them. But to Jake's assertion, to not knowing where kids are going. We have published that information as well. So we do have kids at community college, certainly, and we are so grateful for the work of the community college, whose mission is to educate the community and take risks that others would not take. But we also have kids at all of our small and big state universities, as well as state-related schools. We have 31 kids at Allegheny College. We have some at Bryn Mawr. We have 43 at CMU. We have 15 at University of Pennsylvania. So these kids are getting into schools of all types, as well as trade and technical schools. And many have graduated, and we have reported on that. However, the national method for determining college graduation rates takes 6 years. So they give kids not 4 years, but six to complete their four-year degree. So we still need another year to go before we have a comparable.
Jake, you wrote in a recent op-ed for the Pittsburgh Tribune Review, quote, "Would it not be better to redirect some of the vast sums of taxpayer dollars and promise money to real education reform?" End quote. What is the real education reform you would direct this money to?
I think a lot of the parents who have left the city because of the poor schools, and they are legion. I mean, if you look at the population decline in the city of Pittsburgh over the last 20 years, a lot of it has been motivated by people getting their kids out of Pittsburgh public schools. I don't think there's any doubt about it. If you look at the demographics and the age distribution of the people who are leaving the city, there are people with school-age children, particularly high school-age children. So I think if you would offer a program and you could say, look, rather than giving you $10,000 after you graduate, we'll give you $10,000 a year to go to a school where learning is prized, discipline is maintained, and education is actually happening, a lot of parents would jump at that. I mean, why do you want to wait 6 or 8 years and put your kids through mediocrity at best and not be prepared for college as well as they could be when you could send them to schools, if the money was available, where they would actually learn something to be prepared to go to college and could get scholarships?
Is this a backdoor way of supporting private school vouchers?
It's not backdoor at all. It's a front door.
So,
I'm just saying, it's private money. You can do what you want to with it. You don't have to. I mean, some of the state money, they're reluctant to use taxpayer money because if it goes to a religious school, it's said to be unconstitutional.
If you do that, though, would we even have a public school system left?
Well, I don't think you have enough money here to deprive the public schools of all their students. All I'm arguing is that for parents and kids who really want to learn, who are interested in dedicating themselves to an educational program that actually works, why not give them a chance? It works everywhere else in the world. I don't know why Pittsburgh is the last place on the planet to think it doesn't work.
We're talking about the Pittsburgh Promise. After 5 years, is it working? Our guests in studio, Salim Ghubriel, who is executive director of the Pittsburgh Promise, and with us by phone, Jake Halk, president of the Allegheny Institute. We'll continue the discussion and we'll take your calls here on Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. This is 90.5 WESA. It's Essential Pittsburgh, and we are talking about the Pittsburgh Promise, a program that has provided public school students in the city with up to $40,000 in scholarship money to pursue a college education on the undergraduate level. It is a five-year-old program, and the question is it working since it began in 2008? Our guests are the executive director of the Pittsburgh Promise, Salim Ghubriel, as well as the Allegheny Institute president, Jake Halk. We're taking your calls at 412-246-2002 on this subject, and we will start with Dave in Pittsburgh. Dave, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi. I just want to preface this and say I don't agree with either Celine or Jake. I think they're both in kind of a different reality. I'm glad some of the kids are going to college, and that's great, but what about the kids not going to college? How come there's no access to high school vocational programs in these city schools? We have practically segregated schools, little access to high school vocational training. You know, college isn't the only way, but the approach is just that. You know, in addition to that, you know, there's more technology in the affluent neighborhoods. The poor neighborhoods have hardly any access to technology. We have an unrelatable curriculum for the kids, and there's so many problems to these schools that aren't being addressed. How do we address these problems? How do we get access to every kid for vocational programs, high-paying, skilled jobs that they can have after high school?
So, okay.
How can we have a little access in these schools?
Okay, so what Dave is asking is why isn't there more, or at least a similar bridge to vocational schools or what some people would call trade schools? In addition to a bridge to college. Salim, I'll start with you on that.
Dave, there actually is. In fact, the Pittsburgh Promise funds kids to pursue trade or technical school, including not just two-year programs, but including six-month or nine-month certificate programs. It is our hope not that every child graduates with a four-year degree, but that every child graduates with either a degree, a diploma, or workforce certification. And furthermore, the district currently does have, it's not huge, but it's a growing career in technical education, and we are working with a new entity that's emerging in the center of the city about expanding the career and technical education options that are available to our kids. So we agree that that is a priority that needs to be invested in.
Dave, thank you for the call, and I would ask Jake, ask you about your opinion of providing more money, or if you think enough money is being provided for technical schools. Salim says that it is, in fact, part of the Pittsburgh Promise.
Well, I realize that. I would just comment on Dave's point. I think he's on the mark here. I'd like to see far more attention paid in the high school years, not and wait until they're finished to go to a trade school or a technical school, but to learn something while they're there. I think shop training for boys and girls, too, in these days, electronics, automobile repair. They used to do this stuff, and kids got prepared for a career after high school that didn't require going to college because not everybody's suited to go to college. And I think part of our societal problem here is we've made going to college such an important cultural part of moving into your career that a lot of kids are just missing out because they can't do the college work, and the colleges get more and more eager to have enrollment, and so they're letting people in who have less and less ability to do college-level work. I mean, we've just got to rethink our priorities here because a lot of kids go to college, they borrow money, and they never can find the work to pay the money back. It's a disaster, and I think Dave is on to something with the vocational stuff.
412-246-2002. Let's go to Julia. Julia in Pittsburgh. Welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm actually one of the Pittsburgh Promise recipients. I graduated with the first class, so I actually graduated from CMU last year, 2012. And I wanted to make a few comments on some of the statements you made, Hulk. One of the things you had said in an article was that you don't know if giving $10,000 a year in scholarships for people to go to art school is really what they should be doing. Well, I want to let you know that I did go to art school at CMU. I'm actually calling from Kappa High School where I teach. So for me, my involvement in the district has come around full circle where I've really greatly been helped. I would not have been able to go to college without the money. I had no family contribution. And here I am teaching for the district. So I think that you should really research and know how the Promise has helped the students who have received it before you're able to make statements on what it has truly done overall, because there are many students who are staying in Pittsburgh and working and doing a lot of great things, giving back to what they've been given.
Well, Jake Hulk, there's at least one example.
Oh, yeah, well, you can find an advertisement for anything. I'm happy that she's happy with it, but this is not my point. My point is we're talking about millions and millions of dollars. Some of it is going to do some good. What I'm talking about is the failure of this program to do anything about the poverty that is the academic system in the city of Pittsburgh, where you're turning out a lot of kids who think they're going to go to college and be successful. Now, this young lady obviously had some smarts, was able to do the work. If she went to CMU on $10,000 a year, she had to have a lot of help because the tuition at CMU is $40,000 a year. I don't know who picked up the rest of it if her family didn't pay. I hope she hasn't borrowed $30,000 a year in hopes of paying it back by teaching art. But that's beside the point. Here you're talking millions and millions and millions of dollars to send kids to college. If these kids were really good students, they would be able to get the money to go to college. Almost all of them would.
I'm not saying that the Pittsburgh Promise is absolutely solely the reason why I was able to go to school, but it was very much that tying end that helped me fill in that final amount of money that was needed. But moreover, you know, I understand that you're making the point of it not helping the statistics within the Pittsburgh public schools, and I don't think that should fully be put on the Promise. You know, that is a part of what Saleem has wanted to accomplish in the long run, and I agree that it's a bit too early to know, but I think since you just had the graduates, you know, of the four-year colleges last year, it's important to see how it has impacted the city from the students who are still here.
Well, my question to you would be, would you have gone to college without this?
No, I actually would not have been able to. I got into all of my dream schools, and CMU was not my number one choice. I wanted to go to RISD, but I could not afford it, and I was lucky to have other scholarships, and like I said, the Pittsburgh Promise covered that remaining amount that I did not have covered. So it fully helped me
go to college without it. There's no question in my mind. You were dedicated. You had the smarts. You would have gotten the money to go somewhere to college. It might have not have been CMU, but you would have been able to go. And my point is, a lot of the students with 3.5s and 1,300 on their SAT scores would have gone to college without the Promise.
Let me jump in. And Julia, I thank you for your phone call, and congratulations to you on what you have accomplished. I mean, Jake Helk, does this need to be the panacea? Does it need to be does this program need to be the cure-all for everything that's a problem with the Pittsburgh public schools? If simply by providing opportunities to some students to go to college is all that this program achieves, why is that not enough?
Well, because it claims it's so much more. And I don't have any problem with people wanting to provide scholarships with kids to go to college, but don't say it's going to do all this other stuff and then come up with excuses when it doesn't happen.
Saleem, let me just finish my point. Go ahead.
My point is that this kind of money, if the community that's putting this kind of money up really wanted to do something to help the students in Pittsburgh, it would do something to help the kids who are stuck in these failing schools now, and not wait until they're graduated and find out that they don't know enough to go to college and that there's 7% of them are proficient in mathematics. That's abominable. And we need to do something to address that problem. And this just takes our eye off the ball.
All right.
Let me jump in, Jake. You've made your point, sir.
Let Saleem Gabriel respond to you. Go ahead, Saleem.
7% proficient is abominable, and that is true of one of our schools, and there are lots and lots of arrows that are right now being pointed at that school to bring about transformation. However, that is not representative of the district at large. And while it's true that SAT scores have gone down since the inception of the Promise, what's also true is that twice as many kids are now taking the SAT exam, including a lot of kids who did not used to take the SAT exam before because college was not on their radar, post-secondary education was not on their radar. And we are indeed aiming for the moon. So from the very beginning, we aimed rather high. Our motto with our kids is dream big, work hard. And we reciprocate by saying we too are going to dream big and we too are going to work hard because we do think that the city, the core of the region, and its urban public school system are worth saving. And Jake is also right in saying that he's not using the Promise or suggesting that we use the Promise as a backdoor. From the very beginning, he's been very public about wanting to support a voucher system. He has written nearly 20 briefs about the Promise, and in almost all of them, he ends it by saying this ought to be a voucher system. But what's very naive about that perspective, naive and maybe even dangerous and reckless, is that what makes a private school private is not the fact that it requires somebody to come with a check or a wad of cash to enter it. What makes it private is its ability to say yes to some students and no to others. For example, a case in point, recently in one of our high-profile private girls' schools that's high-achieving and very much a desirable place to send young women, three girls were thrown out from the school because they posted bullying language about one of their peers. And we agree that that's inappropriate behavior and there should be consequences. But where do they go when they get thrown out from the private schools? They go to the public schools, the only institution that is required by both law and moral code to educate all kids inclusively without exception is the public school system.
Let's take one last call from Brady in Squirrel Hill. Brady, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. We have just a couple minutes left, so you have to go quick, sir.
Oh, okay. I am a student who was a member of the or was eligible for the Pittsburgh Promise. I ended up not taking it and attending an out-of-state school, Johns Hopkins University. I just wanted to say, with many of my friends, because the Pittsburgh Promise counts as income, many of my friends weren't able to attend even the state schools because their own scholarship that they had received due to their merit in school was not, it ended up affecting the Pittsburgh Promise. Had they accepted it, would have ended up affecting their, essentially the amount of scholarship they could have gotten. I just wanted to hear your thoughts on that, and I feel like...
All right, let me jump in. Let's Salim respond because we're coming up against the clock here. So, Salim?
Brady, I think what I heard you say is that some colleges and universities have lowered or attempted to lower the financial aid that they are giving students by an amount that is equal to or proportional to the Promise Scholarship. I think that's what I've heard you say. We have identified two colleges that are doing that, and we have called them on that action and told them that if they don't cease that behavior, we will then make it public so that parents will know better than to enroll their kids there.
Let's take one last quick comment from Beth. Beth, literally about 15 seconds for you to go ahead and make your point. Beth in Point Breeze, go ahead. And apparently we don't have Beth. And we are just about out of time anyway. So I want to thank Salim Gabriel for joining us to talk about the Pittsburgh Promise. He is executive director of the Pittsburgh Promise, which began in 2008. 5 years later, he says the program has been a success. Jake Houck with the Allegheny Institute, the president of the Allegheny Institute, critical of the Pittsburgh Promise. Thank you for joining us as well. We appreciate it. Coming up, City Paper film critic Al Hoff returns with reviews of the latest summer movie releases, including the docudrama premiering this weekend, Fruitvale Station. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.